1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Tonight we're going to be looking at verse number 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, Rejoice. That was 16. 18 says, and everything gives thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, each of us has experienced painful situations. If you're like me, thankfulness is not always the first reaction. You know, something goes wrong, whether it's a pain or a loss, or somebody said something cutting that hurt, or sad news, or sickness. Our natural response is not to thank God and say, oh, that was nice. But we need to remember what God says. He says to thank Him for everything. And it's important for us to remember, and I think Carl could probably verify this for us, that above the clouds, the sun's shining. Right now, we see the clouds. But you get above the clouds, and the sun's shining. And God allows us to go through times of cloud in life, but He knows what's going on. And it's important for us to understand it. But I believe that in order to rightly understand this verse, when God says, and everything gives thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, for us to rightly understand this verse, there's a three-step process that we need to follow in order to be able to understand this. And so this morning, I want us to walk through those three steps that it'll help us to be able to see how can I be thankful for everything. The first step is to believe that God knows and oversees all things. To believe that God knows and oversees all things. Now, we know that in our heads, but in our hearts, a lot of times we struggle. All right? It's easy to say, yeah, God sees everything, He knows everything. But when it comes down to our individual lives and realize that God knows and oversees all things, sometimes we fail to do that. Nothing ever surprises God. You know, we have surprises. Something happens and something comes up and say, oh, wow, that, I didn't expect that. God's never had that happen to Him because God knows all things. He can see the past as well as the future. He sees it all. Nothing ever surprises God. And so there's no startling events to God. God knows all things and His understanding is unlimited. We read over in Psalm 147, verse 5, it says, great is our Lord, and of great power, His understanding is infinite. His understanding is infinite. He understands everything. We read also in Isaiah 40, verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. See, God has perfect understanding. He knows all things, and we can trust Him. Jeremiah 23, verse 24 says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? He says, you can't hide on me. I see everything. I know everything. I am everywhere. Romans chapter 11, verse number 33, he said, oh, the depths of the riches, both of wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. See, God understands how to make right judgments. He understands the beginning and the end. He understands all things. He sees our problem before the problem even happens. He sees the things in our lives. He knows all of it. And God knows both the good and the bad events that will come our way. And that's important for us to understand that God knows all that. Because when we understand that God knows all that and He sees all that and He oversees all that, it'll help us in being able to give thanks. Now, God knows also what is best for every situation. God is big enough to hold the universe in the palm of His hand. That's an awesome thought. Study over Isaiah 40. That's one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 12 tells us how that God holds everything in the palm of His hand. He says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. And then He goes on and He says that He weighs the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. See, God is greater than all things. The whole universe God knows the number of all the stars, and He calls them all by their names. And there are trillions and trillions and trillions of stars that are trillions of light years out there. Man has not found the end of it yet. God is in control of all. God knows it all. We've got a great God who is awesome in size, awesome in understanding, awesome in all that He does. Nothing is too difficult for God. Jeremiah 23:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast, or 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. There's nothing too hard for thee. Jeremiah 32:17. So nothing is too hard for God. He stretched out the heavens. And when He created them, we got a great God. Job chapters 31 to 38. Job 38 to 41. Got the one in there in the wrong place. 38 to 41. Job 38 to 41 is an awesome description of God's creation. God's speaking with Job, and He said, Job, were you there when I created this animal? How about this one here? How about when I created the frost? Can you make the ice form on the water? Can you do all these things, Job? What do you know about all this, Job? And Job just sits there like, no, I don't know any of that stuff. Then God talks about the dinosaurs. He talks about behemoth. He talks about the Leviathan, both of them huge dinosaurs. He says, Job, you've seen them, but what do you know about them, Job? What can you do about them? Can you conquer them, Job? They're my creatures. They're the greatest of my creatures. I created them. Job was speechless. See, all of this is just showing us that God is the sovereign of the entire universe. He is in control of everything. He made everything. He made everything perfectly. He made it all perfectly to fit together perfectly. It's amazing as Melody and I study to try to find answers for some of our health issues. And you see that one thing links to the next thing and the next thing links to the next thing. God made our bodies in such a marvelous way. It is phenomenal. Because if one little thing goes wrong, it affects the next thing like a bunch of dominoes lined up and they all tip over because one thing got out of line. And so we got to keep everything in perspective. If one thing gets out, then other things are affected by it. But it's because God designed it perfectly, to work perfectly. And when man messes with it, it goes wrong. Or when we feed it wrong, it goes wrong. But see, God knows what He's doing. He is an awesome God. He's absolutely sovereign over the entire universe. God knows what is best for everything that comes up in life. God knows what's best. Now, sometimes people look at God and say, if God was out there, you know, why didn't he stop these big storms that happened? Why didn't God stop that cyclone that wiped out the city? Why didn't God, you know, stop that famine that killed all those people? Why, if God was really real, why doesn't He do something about all those problems in the world? Well, people that accuse God of that don't look at the whole picture. God is not to blame for the things that happen because of sin. You read in Genesis chapter 1, everything was perfect when God made it. But when man sinned, the perfection was gone. Not only in humans, but in the universe. The perfect universe is no longer the perfect universe that it once was, because man has sinned. And as a result of man's sin, there has been problems in the universe that have come up and has caused things in our world that are harmful and dangerous and sad. And even the natural disasters are all a result of sin. Why? Because you think about in Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, where God sent the flood, the whole globe was changed. Because prior to the flood, there was a vapor canopy around the world that kept the whole world as a global greenhouse. And it was lush and it was beautiful. But once the flood came and the canopy broke and the fountains of the deep broke up, the whole world was completely changed. The whole topography of the world is completely changed. The mountains were changed. The valleys were changed. The oceans were changed. Everything changed. And the seasons began. And things were different. Before that, there was no cold and hot. You read in Genesis there, right after the flood, God talks about the seasons and the cold and the hot. Wasn't existed before. But now it did. So many things changed. And it was all, why did the flood come? Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5. Because God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. God says, I can't overlook it anymore. So it's all a problem with sin. It isn't God's fault. It isn't like God's up there and we can say, God's your fault. No, it isn't God's fault. It's man's fault for all the things that we've done wrong. Now God knows what will happen as a result of every choice we make. Every choice we make in life. Maybe it's a choice of something we do. Maybe it's a choice of something we think. Maybe it's a choice of something we say. Maybe it's a choice of something we eat. Maybe it's a choice of some place we go. God knows what's going to happen as a result of that. Sometimes we don't know. And we go ahead and do it, and then, oh, something bad happened. Well, God knew it all along. But it wasn't God's fault. We made the choice. But God knows what's going to happen. So, you must truly believe that God knows and oversees all things before you're going to be able to be thankful for all things. We can't be thankful for all things until we really, truly believe that God is the sovereign of the universe and that He is in control and He understands. He's not to blame for some of the things that happen. Man is, and sin is, and some of our own sin gets us into trouble, but God sees and understands all of it. He is in control and He is sovereign over all. It'll help us in thanking God if we'll understand it. The second step is to believe that all God allows in your life is His plan for you. That everything He allows in your life is His plan for you. Now that's important for us to believe. Now let me explain. God has a plan for your life and mine. He does. He has a plan. Only a foolish person would build a new house with no plans, with no blueprint. I mean, I've done enough carpenter work to know that even when I'm just making a little project, it helps me if I just take the time to sketch it out and think about it and draw out the measurements and all that. So I've got a plan to follow. Even if it's just a little tiny, you know, making a feeder for my chicken pen. I mean, just something like that. It helps to draw it out and measure. Why? Because then I know where I'm going. And I know exactly what I'm anticipating. See, no one would be foolish enough to build a whole house with no plans and just say, well, I don't know how big you're going to make. I mean, I haven't decided yet. We'll just kind of see how much cement I get. You know, if it's a little more, I'll just extend it. Nobody builds like that. You'd be foolish to do that. You need a plan. Now, if man is wise enough to make a plan for the things that he builds, certainly God is wiser than man, and God is wise enough to know the plan He has for your life. When He created you and He made you in your mother's womb and you were born, God knew the plan He had for your life. God had it mapped out. God doesn't go along the way and say, oh, I wonder what's going to happen next. No, God has a plan for our lives. Now, to be the most useful in this life, we must draw close to God and discover God's plan or His will for our life. Now, if you want to know what's best for your life, young people, if you want to know what's best for your life, draw close to God. As you draw close to God and say, God, please show me what you want me to do. Lead me day by day. Help me to follow your leading. Because if we draw close to God, then we can get God's guidance and He'll show us what His plan is. God doesn't open up His blueprint and say, all right, here's the blueprint for your life, all right? See what it is? All right, follow that and you'll be fine. God doesn't do that for us, but often God will reveal one little step at a time. You know, even like building a house. When I was, before I was married, I worked for a carpenter and we built two or three houses from the bottom all the way up, all right? And I didn't usually get to see the blueprints because I was just a worker. The boss had all those things. But I know one thing for sure. The boss wasn't really too worried about the final touches of, you know, what color paint was going to go on the kitchen walls. That wasn't really his worry when we were down digging the trenches for the foundation. All right? So you got to start one step at a time. And you know, in our lives, sometimes we'll want to say, well, God, show me what's going to be in the future. You know, who am I going to marry? Or what kind of a work am I going to do? Where am I going to live? And God said, hang on. We got a lot to do before then. All right? Worry about one thing at a time. But we like to see the whole picture because we want to, you know, oh, it's exciting to see what's ahead. No, God says, one day at a time is all I need to give you. And so we need to depend upon God and seek God's mind. You know, in nature, God causes storms to put stress on plants. Why? Because those plants, when they have the stress of the wind and the rain and things like that, it makes the plant grow stronger. Now, sometimes they break off. I understand that. But other times, most of the time, they get stronger and they build stronger roots. And you get a tree that's growing on a hillside and it gets all the winds and the storms and the wind. It'll put down deep roots and it'll be a strong tree and it'll be stand there for a long time because it has put down its roots because of the storms of life. And you know, and the same thing is true with us. God wants us to put down our deeper roots during the storms of life. And it can strengthen us and help us and encourage us when we do that. Same thing is true with the seeds of the forest. Now, scientists tell us that there are certain seeds in the forests of Western Australia that only sprout after a fire. They'll sit there for years. But as soon as the fire goes through, then they sprout. See, God had a plan. The fire was bad. The fire was harmful. It was destructive. But it fulfilled a purpose. And it brought forth life. And so the same is true in our lives. There is always a bright side to the problems that we face. Something God is planning for us. Someone has said that all sunshine makes a desert. You know, most of us would just assume that it was, you know, about 28 degrees and sunny 365 days of the year. I mean, that sounds pretty nice. But it wouldn't be good for our country. It wouldn't be good for the land. We need the rain. We need the cold days. We need the variety. God has sent it for a purpose. There's a reason for all that. Same is true in our lives. And in our lives, the good and the bad work together. Our trials are not our enemies. They're our friend. God allows them in our life to strengthen us, to help us, to make us a better person. Now, God works all things out for our good. We know there's a verse in the Bible that talks about that. I'll mention it in a moment. But it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to believe it. All right? Sometimes God allows unpleasant things to happen in our lives. Even these bitter moments have positive purposes. God uses those trials to make us wiser, to make us more Christ-like in our character. God will use those to make us more empathetic toward others. You know, if you've gone through some sickness, you can put your arm around somebody else and say, listen, I know what that's like. I've been through it. I'm praying for you. And say, you don't know. I've been there. I know. See, it helps us to be more empathetic. And there's a lot of things like that true in life. And it'll make us stronger spiritually if we'll depend on the Lord. And it'll also make us more dependent on the Lord. Because when we have problems, we have to run to God and say, God, you've got to help us. How are we going to get through this problem? How are we going to solve this problem? You know, now that my wife's got Lyme disease, we've got to go to God and say, God, you're going to have to help us. Show us what to do. Guide us down the right path. Show us what we can do to try to resolve that and the best treatments and the best things to do. How can we work it? But see, God knows what He's doing. And we need to become more dependent on Him. In the book of Job, God knew that Job would benefit by the terrible things that He allowed Satan to do to Job. If you've never read the book of Job, you need to. It's a good book to read. Because it'll help you to see God's hand in a man's life that was living a good life. He was being godly. He was righteous. God even said so. You know, that's a wonderful thing. I'd like God to be able to say what He said about Job. I thought I'd like Him to say that about me. That Job is an upright and fearful, a man who fears God. I'd say, whoa, God really complimented Job. So Job wasn't doing anything wrong, but God allowed troubles to come into Job's life to strengthen Job, to strengthen his character, to make him a greater man, to make him more of what God wanted him to be. And we see that all through the book of Job. Then that verse I mentioned a moment ago in Romans 8:28, God assures us that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And if we are walking with the Lord and we're doing what God wants us to do, God will work it all together in our life for our good. He'll put all the problems together in our life and weave them together in a way that'll make us better and stronger and more of what He wants us to be. But if we disobey God's will and sin, we can't blame God and say it's God's fault. God didn't plan for sin in our life. God didn't plan for the times that I have done wrong. God didn't plan when He drew my blueprint before I was born. God didn't plan in there for, well, I'm going to have him sin here and I'm going to have him sin there and I'm going to have him tell a lie here. God didn't do that, but God knew that I would blow it and mess up. God knew those things that I would do was wrong, but it wasn't God's plan that we sin. We see that and we're assured of that from James chapter 1, verse number 13 and 15. James 1:13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. God said, it's not my fault. It's your fault. My fault. See, we have done wrong. When we sin, it's our fault because we made a wrong choice. It's not God's fault. And when we mess up God's plan for our lives, we're going to suffer for it. But the encouraging part is, it's not all lost. We've got a wonderful God that is merciful and gracious. And He is willing to remold our lives when we make a mess of it. I like what God wrote for us through Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 6, Jeremiah gives the illustration of a potter. He went down to the potter's house, and God says, Jeremiah, take a look at the potter. What's he doing? He's making a pot on the turning table. The table's turning, he's forming a pot, and something went wrong, and it was flawed. And what did the potter do? Did he pick up that lump of clay and throw it in the bin and say, well, that's a waste? No, he squashed it down and remolded it into another form. He made a different shape out of it, but he didn't throw it away. And you know, when we do wrong, if we'll come back to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I made a mess of things. Please forgive me. God will remold us. It's like He rewrites the blueprint, but He doesn't throw it in the bin. He rewrites the blueprint and makes something else that will bring honor to Him. Now, often, we won't be able to do the exact same thing that He had planned originally. He may have to change things. We may miss out on a few things that He had originally planned for us, but He doesn't throw us away. He doesn't say, you're useless now. I can't use you anymore. You're going to the bin. No, He remolds us if we are willing to confess our sin. Now, the person that's not willing to confess their sin and not willing to get right with God, sometimes the Bible says there's a sin unto death. Sometimes God says, all right, if you won't do what's right, then I can't use you. I can't remold you. And I'll have to take you to heaven before I planned. But if we're willing to confess our sin and get right with God and seek God and say, God, please forgive me, God is willing to remold our clay. Make our life into something that would bring glory to Him. And that is a wonderful, wonderful truth, that we've got a God who is that merciful. So, in order to understand how to give thanks to God, first of all, we need to truly believe that God knows and oversees all things. But secondly, we must also believe that God, all that God allows in our life is part of His plan. Until we are willing to accept that, we will not be able to give thanks for everything. It just won't work. Because we've got to be willing to see that God's hand is over all, see that God has a plan, and that we've got to follow it. Number three, the third step, is believing God's will motivate you to be thankful for everything. Believing that the problem that you're facing is part of God's will, that will enable you to be thankful. If you truly believe that every situation is God's will for your life, you can be thankful. I can be thankful. And as I said at the beginning, I'm not preaching this message to you. I need this as much, if not more, than most of you. It's not easy to be thankful when things go wrong. It's not easy to be thankful when problems arise, conflicts and issues and disasters and heartaches. It's not easy. But God wants us to be thankful. In time of blessing and burden, God is always good. God is always good. We need to remember that. We read over in Psalm 34 and verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. As I said, it's not easy to give thanks for painful things. Disappointments, accidents, death of a loved one, abuse, divorce, flat tire, damaging storm, financial loss, robbery, sickness, painful experiences. It's not easy to give thanks. It's not easy to say, Lord, thank you for that thing that happened to me that it just, oh, I hate that thing. Thank you, Lord. It's not easy. But if we can see it from God's perspective, it'll help us. When things like this happen, it's easier to feel sorry for ourselves and to complain, why me? It really is. Lord, why are you allowing this in our lives? We're trying to serve you, Lord. We're trying to minister for you. Lord, why would you allow that to happen? Why would you give us this burden to carry? Why don't the children do right, God? Why isn't this? Why don't you help us with this problem? How come we have this financial burden we can't get out from? Lord, what? Why don't you just reach down and help us? You own the cattle on a thousand hills. Lord, come on, help us. And we feel sorry for ourselves, but that's not what God wants. God wants us to learn from it and not blame Him. The devil wants our painful experiences to make us bitter. God wants them to make us better. And we make the choice. If we listen to the devil, he'll make us bitter over the things that went wrong in our life, the problems that came. If we listen to God, he'll make us better. Because we'll become stronger, more Christ-like, more empathetic, more depending on him, and more restful in him. When painful things happen, we need to focus not on the pain, but on the gain. What am I going to gain from this? What's God's purpose? Look for the positive benefits of the pain, the problem. Look for the positive things. The psalmist gave thanks for God's mercy in Psalm 107, verse 1. He said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Give thanks unto the Lord because he's good. God is good. The apostles in Acts chapter 5 and verse 41, they gave thanks when they were beaten. We read in the verse, it says, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." They were beaten. And I mean, anytime someone beats somebody else, it's not just like, naughty boy. I mean, they beat him. They made it hurt and bleed. And the apostles left thanking God that they were able to suffer a little bit for what Christ had done for them. They were thankful. The Apostle Paul thanked God for the thorn that he had in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. "Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Remember when Paul and Silas were in prison? They were thrown in prison in Philippi for preaching the gospel. And they're in prison in the middle of the night. They had been beaten with rods. They've been put in the stocks. And people that have researched this, they say that the stocks were so painful that they were just excruciating pain. The way that they would put them in these stocks and hold their feet and their arms in the most painful situation they could think of. And yet in that terrible, miserable situation, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. And in that particular situation, God saw fit to send an earthquake, loosen all their chains, set them free. But God doesn't always do that. But they didn't know God was going to do that. They were just praising God, thanking God, even in the midst of their troubles. I share these things with you because not that it's easy to give thanks for troubles, but it's possible to give thanks for troubles. It is possible. We need to rest in the Lord. God commands that we give thanks in everything. Our verse again, it says, "In everything, give thanks." Not an option. It's a command. "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We need to count our blessings and praise God for them. To think of the good things that God has done. Think of the positive things that come from the problems. Count our blessings. Many times Melody's been reminding me to have a blessings book. She has a little blessings book. Every day she writes down blessings that the Lord has done as a way of encouragement. And I started a long time ago, and honestly, I kind of set it aside for a long time. And when I was preparing this message, the Lord convicted my heart, and I got it back out and set it out on my desk and said, "I've got to start writing my blessings down again." Every day, look for something we can be thankful for. And it's a good reminder for us to be able to look back on that and say, yeah, God met that need. Oh, yeah, God met that need. That was a blessing. Look what God did for us this day. Oh, that was a blessing. And it can encourage our hearts. So it's a good idea. If you haven't got a blessings book, grab an old one. The thing I use is an old diary. I think it was back from 2004 or 2006, something like that, an old diary. And it's got lots of blank spaces in it, so I just go to the page where it is today. It's not the right day of the week, but it's got the right date on there. And so I just write it in there and write 2016 next to it, and then I can remember when it was. And, you know, but it can help us. That's one thing we can do to be the positive side of things. Another thing, we sang the song this morning, Count Your Blessings. We can do that. We can sing that song. Troubles are going on. Count your blessings, name them one by one. You know, we can do that. You can do that. You say, well, I'm not much of a singer. Who cares? God's the one that's enjoying it. Sing praises to Him. And so, sing to the Lord and count your blessings. The next time a painful experience comes, we need to pause and ask God to help us to find some good in it and then thank God for it. Stop and say, God, I'm not sure what you're trying to teach us in this, but I thank you for the good that you're going to produce through this. You'll help us in some way through this. And thank God for it, and God will be glorified. You'll be strengthened if you'll do that. If at the moment you can't think of anything good about the trial, then ask God to show you what He's trying to teach you through it. God doesn't waste His time. Every trial that comes our way, maybe a sickness, maybe a loss, maybe a problem, somebody was unkind, somebody hurt us, whatever it may be, everything that comes into a life, God can use to make us a better person. Satan wants to use it to make us a bitter person. But we get to make the choice. You can listen to the devil and go around as a bitter, angry, miserable person that hates everybody because the world has been mean to you. Or you can turn it around and say, God, help me to grow. Things have been tough, but you're a great God. And I know you're going to help me through this. Make me a stronger Christian because of it. The choice is up to us. And obviously, we all know that the happier response is to thank God. Nobody likes being around a bitter, mean, ornery person that hates the world. That's a miserable type of a person. We don't want to become that kind of a person. But if we're not careful, we will, because that's what the devil wants. The devil wants us to become bitter at God when troubles come. God wants us to become better. And so, this morning, if we refuse to be thankful for a painful experience, we do not truly believe that God is good. If you refuse to be thankful for some trouble that's come into your life, you do not really believe that God is good. Because God sees the beginning and the end. He knows all things. He's got a plan for your life. He's willing to remold your life for the mistakes you've made. He will take those problems that come into your life to strengthen you, to make you stronger, to build you, to make you more like He wants you to be. He'll make you more Christ-like if you'll let Him. And we need to believe that God is good. God is not mean. God is not cruel. God is not asleep. God cares. Cast your burden on the Lord. He'll just sustain you. He never suffers the righteous to be moved. God makes no mistakes. And so this morning, as you look into your life, if you've been struggling with giving thanks to God for your problems, then follow these steps we've looked at this morning. First of all, make sure you truly believe that God knows and oversees all things. God is the sovereign of the universe. And then believe that all that God allows in your life is part of His plan. Even the problems that come. Even the mean things that happen to you from other people. The issues of life. God has allowed it there for a reason. To make you better. The devil wants to use it to make you bitter. You got to make the choice. But we need to thank God for those things. And then we need to believe that this will motivate us to be thankful in everything. Really should. It ought to, if we really believe that God is sovereign, and we really believe that God has a plan and that He's not made any mistakes, then that ought to lead us to be thankful when things go wrong. We ought to be able to say, God, I don't know why You brought this in my life. I don't know why I had this car accident. I don't know why the problem. I don't know why I got robbed. I don't know why this problem happened in my life. I don't know why my family's a mess. I don't know, God, but I know You've got a plan. And I know You make no mistakes. And I know that You'll work it out as long as I trust You and draw near You. And I'm not going to be bitter. Please, God, make me better. If that's our attitude, we can be thankful for all things.